Well, welcome everybody, man. So glad that you are here today to worship with us on the first Sunday of the year. Are you just glad that last year is now over? Anybody glad last year is over? I mean, that's kind of a little bit of a tepid applause. Okay, I get it. You know, I understand it's done. I love what somebody posted. Hey, look, nobody please claim 2021 as your year. Okay, let's all just kind of walk in real slow. Let's be real quiet. Let's don't touch anything, and let's see how this thing goes, right? It was kind of a rough year last year, and quite honestly, I don't know if this year's going to be any better. I don't want to discourage anybody, but we don't know, do we? I mean, that's why I love singing the songs we were just singing, man, that God is faithful, and that all his promises are yes and amen, and his faithfulness. Look, he's seen us through one of the most difficult years of at least my lifetime that I can think of in terms of all of us, you know, collectively having to walk through something difficult, but God has been faithful. I don't know if 2021, honestly, is going to be a whole lot better. The truth is, so much is outside of your control. The calendar is just going to keep on ticking. That's what it does, right? Can we agree with that? Have you been to Walmart? Have you seen that they already have Valentine candy out? Come on, they are not slowing down. The Easter stuff's in the warehouse. Y'all know it is. It's just going to keep on. Time's going to keep on going. So much of what you may have planned or what's coming, you can't control. It's out of your control. So we hold on to God's faithfulness. I don't know if the year's going to be any different or better or not, but here's what I do know. You can be different and better. Come on, you believe that? Come on, you can look back last year and say, oh, that was a bad mess. Can you also affirm, you know what, I can be, no matter what I'm about to face, I can make a choice to be different and better in the year ahead. But here's my observation. Positive growth and change. Now, some negative growth and change just happens. But positive growth and change seldom happens by accident. Seldom do you accidentally get a lot better. To get better, positively grow personally, you need an intentional plan to move forward and grow. All right, hold that thought. We just finished Christmas. And when we last gathered up together right on Christmas Eve, it collectively in person like this, when we last got together, Jesus was a little baby in the manger in Luke 2. Ain't that sweet? He was a little baby in the manger, and by the time you get to the middle of the chapter, 40 days after his birth, he's a little over a month old. Mary and Joseph are presenting him in the temple to the Lord, and they're going through their purification rite, right? The next time you hear anything about Jesus is at the end of the chapter. He's going to be about 12 years old and has a disastrous experience from his parents' perspective when he gets left behind, right? It's the original Home Alone movie right there, the first, you know, in Jesus' life. Okay, he gets left behind. But Luke summarizes Jesus' life from 40 days old until he's 12 years old this way in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Now, we're going to leave that verse up there because I want you to keep looking back at it for just a second. Here's the way I understand this summary statement by Luke that's explaining Jesus' childhood. I think he's trying to say his childhood, Jesus' childhood, is just like most of ours. There was a natural process of growth in his life. It occurred physically, mentally, and spiritually, but it's more of a natural growth that's occurring, just like would happen in any healthy organism. The word grow right there in English is the Greek word oxano, which speaks of what a healthy plant would do. A healthy organism is naturally going to grow. Now, here's the deal. The participles, becoming strong, increasing in wisdom, are both passive, which means Jesus is not actively doing something. This is just happening in his life. The grace of God is on him. He's not pursuing God. God is on him. His grace is on him. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. A child, until he got to be 13 years old, was not under the law. It was under their father. And Jesus, in the same way, is under his father. His father, God the Father, is shepherding Jesus. He's growing as a young boy. He's growing in wisdom. He's growing physically. The grace of God is covering him. And this is his life up until age 12, right? Now, once you get to age 12, We have another episode in his life. The next thing you're going to hear about is Jesus is going to be nearly 30 years old at his baptism. But to summarize what happens between the age of 12 and the age of 30, Luke gives another summary verse, Luke 2:52. And this is what it says. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Now we're going to leave this verse up here for a few minutes too. Jesus is still growing in wisdom and his physical development. The grace of God now isn't just passively upon him. He's actively growing in grace with the Father. There's a relational dimension of his life that's now mentioned. He learns to love and live with people well. But the key word that I want you to see is this phrase right here. He kept increasing. Different word from the word grow in verse 40, which is a natural growth. Little kids just grow up. This verse speaks of, that word speaks of an intentionality to grow. The Greek word literally means to lengthen out iron by hammering it. Like, come on, you get a picture of that? To lengthen out iron by hammering this hot iron. That's what it means to increase. It means to advance, to promote forward, to proceed, to go ahead, to make progress, to change for the better. That word communicates intentionality. You got to do it. It's an active voice. Jesus is now actively doing something. And it communicates persistence and effort. Think about hammering. Come on, fellas. Think about a blacksmith hammering away at a piece of iron. He has to keep pounding and keep pounding and keep pounding and keep pounding so that progress is made. This did not happen accidentally. I think Jesus had to exert effort, persistence, and intentionality. So, summarizing what I've told you, from Luke chapter 2, the beginning, to the middle of Luke chapter 3, Jesus progresses from a baby to a child to a 12-year-old boy to a grown man. Now, please hear this statement. 30 years of growth in obscurity preceded his 3-year ministry of relevance. Can I talk to the younger generation who all wants to be relevant? You want to be relevant. You want to be important. You want your life to have significance. And I want to say to you, it is almost, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it is highly improbable that you will ever find relevance in this world as long as you are unwilling to do the hard work of growth in obscurity. But if you will commit yourself to growing in the grace of God in obscurity, God by his power and by his spirit will make sure you are relevant in his kingdom. God wants you to be like Christ. I love what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, Jesus is balanced in his growth. He grows mentally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. He's not just a one-trick pony. He's real good mentally, but he sucks at everything else. And he's not pretty much developed in three of them, but one of them he's just a zero at that. That's not it at all. Jesus grows in all areas. And so just like Jesus, I want you to develop your own intentional growth plan for each of these areas of your life. I want you to develop, I want you to think about, today's just a start, right? You're not gonna solve it today. But over the next 3 or 4 weeks, as we're beginning a brand new year, a brand new decade, right? As we're beginning this, you can develop an intentional strategy for how you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to grow you and develop your life mentally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. It's going to require effort and persistence, but by God's grace and for God's glory, you can get better this year, even if the year doesn't. Y'all down with that? All right, so that's kind of setting the table for what we're about to talk about for the next couple of weeks. All right, I want to grow. Jesus grew in wisdom. So let's start there. What would a growth plan look like for you? Let's kind of get some ideas around this. For you to grow in wisdom, what would that require? The Greek word in that verse in Luke 2:52 for wisdom is the word Sophia. Any girls out there named Sophie, Sophia, right? It's one of the 5 most popular baby names has been for decades. So probably some Sophies out there somewhere. All right. Your name means wise, but just because you got the name don't mean you're wise. All right. You might not even have the name wise, but you could be wise. The word wisdom, Sophia, means full and broad intelligence. It's not just knowledge, but it's understanding of what to do with the knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to think critically and then act practically. Wisdom is knowledge matched with the ability to translate the knowledge into positive practice. You can be book smart and dumb as a brick. Come on, can I get an amen? Y'all know people like that, book smart and couldn't, I mean, just dumb as a brick. Ain't got no sense whatsoever. However, you can also be uneducated and still be very wise. Wisdom is knowledge with an understanding of what to do with it. Now, the Bible talks about two very different kinds of wisdom. Earthly wisdom, you're smart in the ways of the world. You can get around in the world, man. You know how to get things done in the world. And then spiritual wisdom. You know how you know the ways of God and how to live in a way that honors God and how to get things done in the spiritual realm. And this spiritual wisdom translates into an earthly wise life. I get this out of James chapter 3. It's going to be on the screen. Just look at it. See if you can notice the distinction between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom or spiritual wisdom, the characteristics of them, where they come from, what they lead to. James 3:13 says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, it's natural, hold on, it's demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's reasonable, it's full of mercy and good fruits, it's unwavering, and it's without hypocrisy." Let's contrast. Earthly wisdom is characterized by bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart. In other words, it's all about you and self-promotion. But that's not from God. The origin of that is earthly, natural, and demonic, and it results in disorder and every evil thing. In other words, anything goes as long as it gets you ahead. You can cheat, you can lie, you can steal, you can manipulate, you can overpower, you can lawyer up, you can sue, you can use, you can abuse, you can defraud, you can defame, you can demand, whatever, as long as it advances your cause. And can I just say, there's a lot of earthly wisdom going around in our world right now, and we're dumb as a brick. I mean, when I think about earthly wisdom, I think about Ahab and Jezebel in the Bible. Ahab wanted this guy named Naboth. He wanted his vineyard, and the law prohibited Naboth from selling it. And so Ahab's all down and depressed. He comes home dragging his lip, you know. He's all sad. His wife's like, "What's up with you? Naboth won't sell me his vineyard." She said, "Get out of the way. Let me show you how to get things done." She frames him, has some guys accuse him of cursing God, has him killed, and she takes his vineyard. Score one for Jezebel. Girlfriend just got what she wanted, but was that wise? Come on, I can talk about people today. I can talk about men today. You're making a pile of money because you know how to get things done and squeeze people and do things. And you might party a little on the weekend and serially cheat on your wife. And you know what? All your younger colleagues, they may think of you as the man. But let me tell you what, it ain't honoring to your kids, and it ain't honoring to your wife, and it's damnable in the eyes of God. That's not God's honest truth. Come on, 2021, we can't play. Paul said, "I'll turn people like that over to the devil for the destruction of their flesh." Go chew on that a little bit. That's earthly wisdom. Contrast that then with spiritual, godly wisdom, true wisdom. It's different. It's characterized by purity and peace and gentleness and reason and mercy and goodness and consistency and faithfulness. In other words, this kind of wisdom isn't just good for you. It's just good. It's just good. It's good for everybody. Its origin is from above, and it results in good deeds and gentleness of wisdom. This is the kind of wisdom I think Jesus grew in. Y'all with me? This is the kind of wisdom Jesus grew in. He grew in knowledge and understanding how to live and how to do life in a way that is pleasing to God the Father. I think you should grow in wisdom for God's sake. Because he's worthy of you saying, God, I want to love you with all my mind. But I think if you're smart, if you'll just read the book, you should grow in wisdom, honestly, for your sake. You'll find your purpose in life and you will experience blessing. Check out what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. It says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom, a man who gains understanding. For her profit, talking about wisdom, is better than the profit of silver. Her gain is better than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares with her. Long life's in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth, by understanding, established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Isn't that amazing? Here's the deal. Here's the plan. The only plan to grow in wisdom, all right, only plan to grow in wisdom if you want to live a long, blessed, rich, honored, peaceful, protected, sweet, happy, confident life. If that's not the life you want, then don't pursue God's wisdom. But if that's the kind of life you want, by all means, let's get a plan. Let's intentionally start hammering away at living a life of growth in wisdom from God. Can we talk about that? I'm going to give you four practices, I think, of godly wisdom. Okay, four practices of godly wisdom. Four things you need to plan to do in your growth plan. Number one, plan to grow in your relationship with God. Okay, now this is kind of all-encompassing, but I need to start right here because this is where the Bible says wisdom starts. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord. That word in Hebrew has three movements to it. Okay, so stay with me for a second. When you fear the Lord, some people don't fear the Lord at all, and they are not wise. The Bible calls them fools. But if you want to start being wise, it starts with the fear of the Lord. And here's what this journey of learning to fear the Lord rightly looks like. It typically starts with being scared of God. It's an emotion. Oh, I'm scared of God. Then God, don't play. Y'all with me? Y'all feel me? All right. I am scared of God. He is real. He's not a figment of my imagination. There's this unseen realm, and God rules over it. Look, I ain't scared of Bigfoot or the abominable snowman. They ain't real. Cujo and Freddy Krueger, different story. Telling on myself how old I am, but y'all know what I'm saying. God is real, and man, God is holy. He's a consuming fire, and no unrighteousness coming in his presence. He's active and is powerful. This is not theism where God's removed and we're just kind of doing our thing and God don't really give a rip. No, God is active and powerful and he's paying attention and he can give life or take life and all creation obeys him. Adam and Eve were scared of him whenever he started walking in the garden and they knew they were in a bad spot. And so sometimes when you're in a bad spot, you ought to be scared of God. You don't mess with him. He's holy. There's a sense in which we need to have a healthy fear of God, but don't stop there. Keep learning about God that he's also good and faithful. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Same one, right? Fear the Lord. Same one, Yahweh. He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. You see, God is not the big bad wolf. He's more like a gentle giant. And the more you get to know God, the more you realize he ain't against you. He's actually for you. He actually loves you like crazy. And this real, holy, powerful, active God is doing everything to pursue you. And all of a sudden, when you begin to realize that, you move from, I fear God, I'm scared of God as an emotion, to a fear of God as reverence. Okay, as reverence now. It's more of a devotion to God. It's not an emotion now, it's a devotion to God. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The more I get to know him, the more I realize that God is good for me. He is good to me. And I want him for his goodness' sake. And the more you grow in that sense of revering God, still same word, fearing God, I'm revering God, now my reverence turns into love. And that's simply fear as affection. Here's where I get that. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. That the more you get to love God, which is what he calls you to do, greatest commandment, love God with everything you got, heart, soul, mind, strength, right? When you love God that way, you begin to realize, man, I'm not scared of God. He's good. And I'm more than just devoted to God doing religious things. Man, I just love God. There ain't no better person or better way for me. Now, my question to you is, do you have a plan to grow from no fear to fear, from scared to reverence, from reverence to love? Do you have a plan? I think that plan ought to start with accepting Jesus. Okay, go from no fear to fear. I get this from 2 Timothy 3:15, where Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, you know that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Please hear me. Relationship with God, which is what we call salvation, it doesn't come from your mama. It doesn't come from your preacher. It doesn't come from you getting baptized. You're not born into it. Please watch this. Paul says to Timothy, the sacred scripture lead you to wisdom. I understand who God is and how good God is in giving me Jesus. And so I want to trust him by faith. If you've never done that, that ought to be number one on your growth plan. I choose God by my own will to trust you. All right, that ought to be on your plan, right? Some of y'all have already done that. And so here's a part of your growth plan. Maybe you ought to make God a priority. Put God first. I think Jesus did this. More and more, I've already told you the wording from Luke 2:40 to Luke 2:52 changes. He goes from a general kind of growth in grace, because that's what God was doing, kind of ruling over and overruling his life, to where he intentionally begins to grow in the grace and favor of God. We're going to talk about it in a couple of weeks. But here's the idea. It's not that Jesus was disobedient and learned to fear God by becoming obedient. No, he from the jump feared the Father. But he moved, as R.C. Sproul says, from faith to faith, from grace to grace, from strength to strength, from obedience to higher levels of obedience, because he increased in his understanding and knowledge of what God had called him to do. He had a greater capacity then for deeper levels of obedience. In other words, Jesus just kept making the Father the most important thing in his life. He chose to make the Father number one. And I think you can do the same thing. I think you can make God number one with the first of your time, starting with the first of your time every week. Sunday be the first day of the week, and you could honor God with the first of your time, and you could make it a goal. Most of us have never thought about making church attendance a goal. But look, we've been out of church. Maybe this would be a good year to say, you know what? I'm going to be in church X number of times each month. Right? I'm going to actually come to church. Been on the couch church for a while. I'm gonna make a point to come to church. If you feel healthy and you're good and things, right? I don't want you to put yourself in a bad spot. But at some point, you're going to work your way back in. Now, you may have to start slow. It may start with getting out of your pajamas and actually getting dressed. Right? Because I know we live right now. Some of y'all are worshiping right now at online campus. So maybe you just need to get up off the couch and get dressed and go watch the live stream, be a part of worship in your car. Maybe drive down the road, and eventually you'll get back to a campus. I don't know, but make a go. Make a go. Maybe it's the first part of your day. Give God the first part of your day. Put your big rock in first, because if you don't, you ain't going to get around to it. Y'all found that to be true? You got good intentions, but it ain't going to happen if you don't do it first.
But the Bible promises you in Proverbs 2:6, it says, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. The best thing you could do for your day is to put God first. Get you some wisdom. Let him be a shield to you every day. Put him first. Seek his kingdom first. He's going to bless you. Give thanks to God. Give thanks. This is part of putting God first, right? He's good. He's faithful. So you can stop and say, God, thank you. Reflect on your life and think about God's faithfulness. Maybe at the end of each week, I've heard of people writing down one blessing from the week and put it in a jar. And then at the end of the year, you can go back and look and see how faithful God was. Full disclosure, I started that last year. One blessing a week. I made it all the way to the end of April. And after that, I was like, God, I'm done. I don't think I can keep on going, right? So I kind of lost it. But I want to encourage you. Let's do that. That's just a way to do it. At mealtime, we say, God bless the food. But I want you to start saying, God, I bless you. It's just a way of learning that God's been good to you and he's faithful. All right, here's the second thing. Plan to learn and live God's word. I got to go quick. Plan to learn and live God's word. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Psalm 19 verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I told you, you don't have to be educated to be wise. One of the wisest men I've known in my lifetime had a fifth grade education, but he knew the word of God like the back of his hand. Psalm 119 verse 98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. If you want to be wiser than your enemy, smarter than your teacher, and have more sense than old folks, then read, meditate on, and live out the word of God. I'm convinced Jesus knew the word. He probably went to synagogue school from the time he was 6 up till he was 12. If you just study a little bit of Jewish history, kids did that. They'd go to synagogue school. I think Jesus probably learned to write, to read there, because right when he began his ministry, he opened up the scroll and read from Luke 61, so he probably learned how to read there. I think he learned how to write there, most likely because in John 8, he kneels down in the dirt and starts writing. So he's literate, right? He can read and write. I believe that Jesus there learned the stories of Scripture and probably committed them to memory. They didn't have laptops and notebooks. They just heard stories and recited them back. He began to hide the stories of God and the Word of God into his heart. I know that because when he was tempted, he quotes the Word of God back to the enemy. And when the enemy tries to twist the Word of God, Jesus said, no, 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 you got that one wrong. Are y'all with me? Jesus based his entire life on the framework of Scripture. That's wise. That's wise. Everything he does was a decision. He went to school till 12, but a young kid could make a decision after 12 whether to go to school or not. Now, let me just ask, come on. How many of y'all who are 12 years or older, how many of y'all would quit right now if your mama didn't make you go? Right, most of us would quit. Jesus could have quit learning at 12 years old, but boys and girls, listen to me. Listen to me, some grown folks. Jesus made a choice to never quit learning the Word of God. He hammered away at hiding more of the Word and better understanding of the Word in his life. You know, one of the good things about 2020 was be the church. Where if we couldn't come to church, we could be the church wherever we were. And we took that idea straight out of the scripture in Acts chapter 2, the early church, Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They had all things in common that goes on to say. They were sharing their stuff. So we said, we're going to grow, we're going to pray, we're going to connect, we're going to serve. I just want to talk to you about growing. Are you devoting yourself to the Word of God, to the apostles' teaching? And would you make a commitment to do that in a greater way in the coming year? We have currently 5 different reading plans on our app. If you don't have the Pine Lake app, you need to get it. It's a handy resource. There are at least 5 different ways you can read through the Bible on that app. I've read through the Bible multiple times in my lifetime, try to do it each year. For full disclosure, the first time I ever read through the Bible, I read it through backwards. I started in Revelation. I got tired of starting in Genesis and quitting in Leviticus. Come on, anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Man, I just couldn't hang. And so I said, well, at least if I'm going to read something new. So I started in Revelation. First time I read the Bible through, I read it from Revelation back to Genesis. But since then, I've learned to do the one-year plan. I did the chronological plan last year. I'm not doing that again. But I am convinced that if I'm going to keep growing as a man, I ain't talking about as your preacher. I'm talking about if I'm going to keep growing as a man, I got to do something different, because I read yesterday Jesus puts new wine in new wineskins. And so if he's going to give me some new wine, I got to make some new preparation for him to do something new in my life. And so I'm going to read basically on one of the 40-day plans on the app. I'm going to do a kind of a new way of doing that. That's my plan. At least I'm going to start that way, because I want to keep growing. You got a plan? What's your plan to say this year I'm going to intake the word of God? The goal is not to go from Genesis to Revelation. The goal is to get to God, bro. To know him and his ways and his heart more than ever. You can podcast. You can listen to other preachers. I would highly recommend it. I listen to Tony Evans. I listen to Gateway Church sometimes. I listen to Pete Scazzaro, other people. You can memorize Bible verses. I know a lady who's up in her 70s. She's memorizing Bible verses. Come on, don't tell me you can't. If you don't want to memorize, at least just write one down. Put it on the dashboard of your car, on the bathroom mirror. At least claim it and say, I'm going to live this verse. At least this month, I'm going to have one verse. Right? Live God's word. Learn it and live it. Here's the third thing. Plan to engage with a mentor or a mature friend. If you're going to grow in wisdom, plan to engage with a mentor or a mature friend. Outside of Jesus' birth and his dedication in the temple, the only childhood experience in his life that we have in the Bible that we know of, what happened in his life, is the time when his parents were at Jerusalem for a particular celebration, right? A particular day, a holy day where they had to be there. And then whenever they left, Jesus gets left behind. Now, I don't know how that happened. My guess is Joseph assumed Mary had him. Mary probably had told Joseph to get him, and Joseph forgot. That's probably how that went down. At least that's probably how it would happen at my house. But somehow they get maybe even as far as a day away, and when it comes time to bed down at night, they're like, where's Jesus? I thought you had him. I thought you had him. I thought he was with your sister. I thought he was with your cousin. Oh, my gosh, where's Jesus? They go back to Jerusalem, and then that another day, they look for him for a day. Here's what the scripture says in Luke 2:46. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, watch this, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Jesus surrounded himself with people who were a little bit ahead of him in their understanding of the scripture, and he's listening and asking questions, getting somebody to pour into him to help him grow in wisdom. I can't tell you how hugely important this is for your spiritual development to get somebody to pour into you. It doesn't take much. We have a friendship and a partnership with a church in Rockwall, Texas, Lake Point Church. The guys over there, Steve Stroop, Josh Howerton, Rick Burge, those guys have a church planting network where they have taught their planters to be voracious learners. And so they will call from time to time and ask, I just need 15 minutes. And for 15 minutes, they'll ask me two or three questions and then say no other words. They'll just write. And then they'll say, that's our 15 minutes. I'll talk to you later. That's that. It's no wonder that their church plants are thriving, because they're voracious learners. They don't got it all figured out trying to tell me what they know. They're wanting to know what you know. Help me. Help me to get better. You've been ahead of me. If you want to grow in wisdom, plan to talk less and listen more. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 17:28, which says, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. Some of y'all need to write that down, and that needs to be your Bible memory verse for 2021. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. We would say, better to be quiet and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Y'all know what I'm saying? So the Bible encourages you, even commands you, to shut up and listen. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. In other words, it matters who your mentor is. Don't be going to your friends and foolish people to get information. I know a guy, Mike Broke, who said, I'm going to get off of social media for 2021, and I bet he'll be smarter for it. Some voices need to be silenced in your life. Proverbs 5:1 says, my son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding. In other words, you might start with your mama, your daddy, and say, if you were my age, what would you do? What was the best decision you ever made? What was the worst decision you ever made? And you could learn wisdom just listening to your parents. Some of the stuff you might want to do is not do what they did. That's not dishonoring. That's learning and furthering their legacy. What if you started having lunch once a month with a person that you wanted to learn from? What if you just made a list today of people that you said, you know what, I'd like to have a 15-minute phone conversation with that person just to pick their brain? What if you asked a more mature believer than you to start meeting with you regularly, routinely, every other week, every week, doesn't matter. Just pour into me. Help me to grow. Christy and I were at a restaurant eating breakfast the other day on our anniversary. Walk around the corner, and there at one of the booths is one of our elders and a new young believer in our faith family. I love it. It's what you're called to do. You need a Barnabas and a Timothy in your life, right? You need somebody pouring into you, and you need to be pouring into somebody else. Listen to some good podcasts. Yes, you can listen to sermons, but there's a lot of good stuff you can learn. Before there were podcasts, there were cassette tapes. Any of y'all remember listening to cassette tapes? Outside of my daddy, the person who's influenced my life the most as a pastor is probably a guy named Bob Russell. And he was my mentor for almost 2 decades before I ever met him. I just listened to him on tape when I was driving back and forth to school. Come on, somebody can mentor you. You don't even have to know them. Well, they ain't know nobody want to meet with me. Well, don't with this podcast. They want you to listen. Podcast, but you let somebody build into you. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:22, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Learn to leverage the wisdom of older people. Here's the last thing. Plan to ask God for help. Right? We're going to fear God. We're going to grow in our relationship. We're going to learn the Word of God. We're going to leverage into some older believers, let them mentor us, and we're going to ask God for wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men, that includes you, generously and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. Ask God. Ask God for wisdom. He'll give it to you. Y'all remember in 1 Kings 3, Solomon was taken over for David, and David was like the man. The kingdom was massive. And God comes to Solomon and says, Solomon, you can ask me for anything you want. Blank check. God says, ask me for anything you want. I'm going to give it to you. What would you ask for? Solomon wisely asked God for wisdom. 1 Kings 3:9. Give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? In other words, it wasn't about Solomon. God, how can I be honoring to you in this life that you've given me? And whenever he said, God, would you give me wisdom? God said, you bet. You know why? Because God gives wisdom to whoever asks. I think Jesus probably asked for wisdom. He prayed an awful lot. I know that. It was his habit. His practice, he'd often slip away to quiet places and spend time alone in conversation with God. It's how he started his morning, just how he ended many of his days. He prayed before big decisions like the 12 being chosen. He prayed before difficult seasons of his life like the temptation and even his passion. And so I'm saying to you, maybe you, if you're going to grow in wisdom, just need to plan to ask God for wisdom. God, help me to be wise. It's not that hard, I don't think. I'm learning right now the power of habit stacking. We'll talk a little bit more about this maybe next week. Habit stacking, where if you want to develop a new practice, like I want to start asking God for wisdom, then just tag it on to a habit you already have, right? During deer season especially, I don't work out a whole bunch. If I got free time, I'm going to go hang out in a tree. So my physical fitness may suffer, but I know I need to do something, so I'm habit stacking. I'm going to drink coffee every day. Come on, anybody, can I get at least a holy amen on that? I'm going to drink coffee every day. I'm going to make coffee every morning. It don't matter what I'm doing. I'm making some coffee somewhere, and so I'm learning the habits. Like while my coffee's brewing, I'm just doing a few push-ups in the floor. And it's easy because I'm going to do it every day. So I'll just go ahead and drop down, do a few push-ups. It's habit stacking. Just hold that concept, because there are some things in your life you're going to do every day. You're going to take a shower. You're probably going to take a bath. You're going to, I hope, brush your teeth. You might commute to work, or at least walk into the living room nowadays before you turn the computer on. And you could habit stack while you're brushing, while you're washing, while you're driving. You could say, God, would you give me wisdom? That's the way I'm going to start my days from now on. God, while I'm getting ready, the main thing I need is I need some wisdom and some help. Before you make a purchase or a decision, God, would you give me wisdom? On your way to a meeting, before you're logging in, while you're logging in, God, just give me wisdom for this day. Proverbs 2:2 says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. What I'm trying to say to us as a faith family, come on, we're all in this together, right? The goal is not to check church off. The goal is for us to grow together, to be the kingdom of God, the people of God. Together, Pine Lake family, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 360-something days. I don't know. Going to be some good and some bad, I imagine. I don't know if this year will wind up better or worse, but what I do know is you can be better. I can be better no matter what happens in this world. And it starts with having a plan to grow in wisdom. So let's habit stack for a second. At the end of every church service, y'all know I'm going to pray. It's the end. I'm about to pray. So let's stack a habit. Come on, let's pray right now. Across the room, everybody who's worshiping right now at our online campus, just close your eyes right now. This is what we do. And so let's stack the habit. Ask God for wisdom. Come on, you need wisdom? Ask him. Ask God for wisdom. Something with your business, something with your relationship. Something with your finances, maybe at work. God, would you give me wisdom? I need your wisdom, not earthly wisdom, God. I need spiritual, heavenly wisdom. Holy Spirit, give me the mind of Christ. Would you ask God this? God, who could I learn from? Is there a friendship that I need to lean into, a person that I need to pursue that either I know personally or maybe even just electronically? But God, is there somebody that you have for me that might have wisdom for me for the coming year? God, is there somebody? And then listen. How can you grow in God's word this year? I'm not talking about asking God to do a new thing with your old wineskin. You're just doing another year of the same old stuff. No, God may want to do a new thing in you. God, is there something new that you have for me? A new way to read, a new person to listen to, a new group to join, a new habit. Memorizing scripture, listening to a different translation. God, is there something? I want to grow in my understanding and wisdom. A verse, a chapter, a book to memorize. It all starts with the fear of the Lord. And so would you pray this prayer? God, would you take me deeper? God, would you take me deeper? Holy Spirit, take me deeper into my understanding of who you are. You're real, and you're powerful, and you're active, and you're holy, but you are good. Come on, would you ask God to take you to a deeper place? Accept him into your life. Make him your priority. Give him your gratitude. But God, take us deeper. Just a second, I'm going to close this prayer. We're going to have one last song that we worship the Lord with and just declare his goodness and faithfulness. But while we're doing that, listen, I want to encourage you, if you're accepting Jesus today, if you're taking that first step in the fear of the Lord, and you're beginning a relationship with Him through faith in Jesus Christ alone, listen, I want to ask you, would you please do me a favor? Would you text the word Jesus to a number that's just our Pine Lake number, 57555. We use it for everything. But today, if you'll just text the word Jesus, man, I've got some friends who are ready to help you. So if you want to begin with Jesus, would you just text His name to that number? Others of you, you may need prayer, encouragement, support, whatever. If you'll just text the word pray, look, this is real. There are people ready, waiting for God to be poured out in them and through them to help you. So would you text the word pray, same number. But let's let the kingdom begin to move among us as we grow together. Father, we love You. We bless You. We're about to stand up and worship You even more. And God, then we're going to worship You with our lives as we grow in wisdom. God, would You give us a plan? God, let it come together. Lead us, Holy Spirit, to how it is You're going to grow us to be more like You, to understand more of You, and God, to represent You better on this planet in the coming days, as many days as You give us. God, would You teach us to do it? We love You, Jesus. I bless You, and I declare better things, greater days, more hope, joy, and peace, and all the things promised by a life of wisdom are ours as we walk with You. In the name of Christ, I pray this. Amen.